Looking at our topic, is God in the beginning of my life? Is God in the beginning of my life? Today is the first day of the rest of your life. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. We need to understand that. We cannot go back and change anything that we done on yesterday. Not one thing. Yeah, we can go back and repent of those things, but we cannot go back and change it. What has been said has been said. What has been done has been done. But the question is, God in the beginning of my life? There are many people that saw fit to stay home on today. Today is the first day of the week where we come together to partake of the Lord's Supper, to give back a portion of that in which God has allowed us to prosper. And to hear His word being proclaimed, and then since we're gathered together, we sing praises unto Him, and we also pray. We do these things because we find example of them in Scripture. But this is the close of the year. We have one more day. Today is December the 30th, 2018. I started to say 19, but I would have really been going back then. 2018. One more day. We have made plans to do many things for the end of the year. We've made plans to do things in the beginning of the year. Throughout the year, those plans fail. Why? Because God has not, and you will not, include Him. It's a shame. It's something that we need to consider. Amen. Many people have made New Year's resolutions already. Amen. And guess what? They're trying to do all they can right now because they said on the first, on New Year's, I can't do those things. And so they're trying to get all of this into one day, a day and a half. January the 2nd, 2019. Many of those resolutions will fail because God is not included. God is not included. We have to resolve in our minds. We have to make up in our minds that we're going to do whatever is right. We need to resolve that right now. Don't make a resolution. Just resolve that in your mind right now that you're going to do the things that God wants you to do. We're going to do the things that God wants us to do. Amen. We're not going to fail. Amen. Because God is in the beginning of our lives. He's there. God has never moved. God will never move. You know, we put in that address change of address form. Don't put it in down here at this post office down here. They won't change it. Don't stop your mail down there. They won't stop it. Sometimes they will, sometimes they won't. But God has never moved. He will never put in a change of address. He will never move from where He is right now. He wants us to draw closer to Him. If we draw closer to Him, He would draw closer to us. Amen. He's waiting on us to do the things that are right. So again, the question is asked. I'm going to ask this question several times throughout this lesson. Is God in the beginning of my life? Is God in the beginning of your life? Is God there? Is He there? You're at the starting line. On your mark. Get set. And a lot of us jump. Before the gun is fired, many of us jump. God is waiting. He's waiting on us to get back on that mark. He's waiting on us to do the things that He wants us to do. So I want you to look to your left. I want you to look to your right. Don't no one look behind them, please. The person that needs to be there, are they there? Are they there? Who do we need to call today to wake them up? Who do we need to call today to encourage them? Who do we need to call today to ask them a very simple question or make a statement to them before we ask that question? We miss you today. We missed you in the assembly today. Is everything okay? All right, now we got that out of the way. We're gonna get that done, right, Brother Robert? I'm not going to ask you who you're going to call, but we're going to call somebody. Amen. Now, the next question I want to ask you and I want you to think about, because a lot of us are nosy people. I want you to think about, as the communion was going around today, as these brothers was passing out the communion, who did not take communion? that's a member of the Lord's church. Now, I don't know. I did not look behind me. I was, you know, looking at the who was sitting on the left of me. I had to get that right. Making sure that not being nosy, but that person took communion. See, somebody possibly did not take communion this morning. If you notice that, ask that person why. Ask them why. And we're going to leave it at that. If you didn't give, that's going to be between you and God. And those of you that were taking up collection, if you notice that a person didn't give and you know that they're making money, you go to that person and ask them, why did you not give today? Maybe they only get paid once a month, Brother DeMille. I don't know. Maybe they're stingy and they're not doing the things that they... We're going to cover some of that in this lesson this morning. I want you to listen to those things. And I want you to pay attention to the things that God wants us to do. And when we find that we're lacking, that we change. Because God wants us to put Him first in our lives. Where is God at the beginning? Where is God at the beginning? Not where was God in the beginning, because we know in the beginning it was God. The Bible teaches us that in the book of John chapter 1. In the beginning was God. And God was what? The Word. We know in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. We know that Jesus was there with Him. But the question that we're trying to get answered this morning is, where is God right now? Where is He at right now at the beginning? Today is the first day of the week, of our week. The week that has been set aside. Sunday is the first day of the week. Now, tomorrow is for some a holiday, and for others, they have to go to work. If you don't go to work tomorrow, they tell you that you're not going to get paid for the holiday that's coming up on the first. You know what a lot of people are going to do in the morning? They're going to get up and they're going to go to work. Why? Because they want that holiday pay. And they're not going to only get up and go to work tomorrow, but they're going to take off on the first, and then they're going to get up on Wednesday, and they're going to go back because you have to work the day before the holiday and the day after the holiday in order to get paid for the holiday. But today, I'm just too sick to go to worship service. I'm too tired to go to worship. It's been a long weekend. You know, we just finished one holiday, and now we're coming up with another holiday. Man, I'm wore out. I partied too much. Well, first off, you shouldn't be partying. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about going to a birthday party or anniversary party or you know, just even a holiday party. But some of the partying that people are talking about they are tired of, they don't need to be doing that type of partying anyway. So let's ask them that question. Let's ask them that. Our week. Our worship service. According to John chapter 4 verse 23. John chapter 4 verse 23. Where is God at the beginning of our worship? He's the focal point of our worship. He should be. You know, there are those women that are giving birth to a child and they tell them, pick out a focal point. And I want you to look at that focal point. I want you to concentrate on that. As I give you instructions on what to do in order to have this baby, not with no pain, but maybe less pain. Maybe less pain. God needs to be the focal point. A lot of times what we do when we come to worship, we look around. We're looking at people. We're trying to see what he has on, what she has on. We're trying to see, you know, all of these different things. God needs to be the focal point. I want you to clear your minds right now, and I want you to think about God. How great God is. What God has done for you. Where God has brought you from, and where is He trying to take you to? I have to say trying to take you to, because a lot of times we rebel. We don't do what we're supposed to. He's going to do His part. He has done His part. Now He wants us to do our part. But we find in John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. Actually, we're going to go to verse 22 and we're going to come down. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know. For our salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. Why? Very simple. Jesus said, for God is spirit. And those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. must worship him in spirit and truth. If your worship is any other way this morning, it's unacceptable to God. Your worship is useless. Your worship is in vain. You must worship him in spirit and in truth. And as we were talking about in class this morning, we're not adding to our worship nor taking away from our worship, but we're worshiping God according to what we find in Scripture.
Amen.
God is a spirit. He's not a God that we can see. He's not a God that we have to move from one place to another. He's a God that created us. He's a God that's in control of all things. He's a God that goes where he pleases.
Amen.
He doesn't need us. We need him. So we must worship God. He must be the center of our worship, the focus of our worship. And we worship him upon the first day of the week. Yeah, we worship him on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. But upon the first day of the week, we must worship him because there are some things that we need to take care of. In the book of Acts chapter 20 and the verses 7. Acts chapter 20 and the verses 7. People say, well, why did they wait to this time? Because this is the first day of the week. Bible says in Acts chapter 20 and the verses 7, on the first day of the week when the disciples or when they were gathered together to break bread, Paul talked with them, intending to depart on the next day, and he prolonged his speech until midnight. They came together to break bread, not to eat a common meal. They could have done that any day, and they did do those on different days, eating a common meal. But upon this particular day, the first day of the week, they came together to break bread, to partake of the Lord's Supper. What are we doing today? What have we done today? See, we come together in order to remember the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection. We come together to partake of the bread. We come together to drink the fruit of the vine. And we do this in remembrance of him. So we look in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Not only do we come together to partake of the Lord's Supper, but we also come together in order to give as God has allowed us to prosper. We have people that don't have a problem with the giving, but they have a problem with partaking the communion upon every first day of the week. But they give on every first day of the week. And then even if the collection plate is passed during a gospel meeting or a Bible class, then they give at that time too. They don't have a problem with that, but they have a problem with the communion. But here we don't find him telling that, oh, you give any day of the week. No, again, it's upon the first day of the week. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1. Now concerning the collection of the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so you also to do. This is what you also to do. On the first day of the week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper, so that there be no collecting when I come. Upon the first day of the week. Now some will say, well, when is that? It's on the first day of the week. How often? Every first day of the week. The man hire you for a job, and he said, payday is on Friday. Or you just going to go that first Friday and look for a check? Well, let me let you in on a little secret. If you go that first Friday looking for a check, possibly you won't get one because you have to have a week in the hole. It's going to be that next Friday. And you know what you're going to do every Friday after that? You're going to be looking for your check. If you have direct deposit, you're going to be looking at your bank account on Thursday, hoping they put it in there early. And if there's not, you're looking for that man to come and give you that check every Friday. And as you get that check, again, you say, thank you. Every Friday, you're looking to get paid. Why not give upon every first day of the week? Why not give upon the first day of every week? Just as we take the communion upon every first day of the week. See, we need to look at God's word and do the things that we're supposed to do. Then Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. Again, stressing the importance of doing what God wants us to do. Where is God at the beginning? Where is God? Is he the beginning of your life? Is he the beginning of your life? We come together for a reason. We come together to worship God, but then there are other things that God has told us to do, commanded us to do in his word, in order to bring glory unto him, to point people toward him, that they may know that you are, if you love one another, Jesus said, people will know that you are my disciples. They'll know these things. So when we come together, he says in verse 24 of Hebrews chapter 10, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Let us stir up in one another. That's a better way of saying it. Let us stir up, because when you hear that word provoke, a lot of times we say, oh, he's trying to get me to do something that's wrong. But that's not what the writer's talking about right there. He is talking about just stir up in an individual unto love and good works, that we may do the things that God is pleased with. And then he continues in verse 25. He says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhort one another in so much more as you see the day approaching. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. Now we preach messages on gathering together to partake the Lord's Supper. We preach a whole sermon on those things. We preach sermons on giving. And we don't have a problem with listening to that sermon about partaking the communion. Don't have a problem with that. But when a lot of times we start preaching sermons on giving, the collection generally drops. Who are you to tell me what to give and what not to give? I'm nobody. But this book is everything.
Amen.
The author of this book, he is everything. And then when we start talking about assembly, I don't have to make every worship service, do I? Well, if you ask that question, do I? The answer is yes, you do. Even if you don't ask, the answer is still yes, you do. Do you? No, you don't. Why? Because you don't see the importance of coming together to provoke someone unto love and good works. We need one another. Those of you that have phones, if your phone don't ring, you look at it and see what's wrong with it. Why? Because you want someone, you expect someone to give you a call. Do you not? I looked at mine, you know, one of my email addresses, and I haven't received an email on that address in about a week. Why? Well, the reason is sometimes because people say, well, I got this email address, I'm going to email them on this one, and I'm going to email them on that one, and I'm not going to email them on this one. That's okay. That's okay. But when I don't get that phone call, when I look at my phone and I haven't had a phone call or received a call in several days, I worry. I worry. Why? Because is something wrong with my phone? I don't care if you don't like me or not. I'm just looking at something wrong with my phone. Because we get phone calls from people that like us, people that don't like us. We get phone calls from bill collectors that we don't want to answer anyway. But when we start looking at our worship service, our assembling together, we ask the question, where is those people? Where are my brothers and sisters? Why are they not here? And we need to ask that question. And for those of you that choose to lay at home in the bed on Sunday mornings, you may be here this morning, but next Sunday morning you may not be here. Ask yourself, why? Why? Now, this is a week away. I know some of us already made plans not to attend worship service next week. That's a shame. That's a shame. Some of us already made plans. We're not going back this evening. We're not coming back on Wednesday. That's a shame. The assembling, that's plural, the assembling of ourselves together. We need to come together to edify one another. You look at the count on Wednesday night, it says 40. You look at the count for Sunday morning and it says 71. You ask yourself, where are those other 31 people on Wednesday night? You ask that question. Then you look at Sunday night, which was 48. And you ask yourself, where are those people that were here on Sunday mornings? Why did they not come back on Sunday night? See, we want you here not only on Sunday mornings, but we want you here on Sunday evenings. We want you here on Wednesdays. And if there's a gospel meeting going on or anything that the congregation, that the elders have saw fit to say, this is where we need to be. This is the work of the West End congregation. This is where we need to be. We need to be here. We need to be here. Where is God at the beginning of our day? Some of us woke up this morning, we didn't give it a thought. We got up and we went along our way. We started our busy schedule, trying to get ourselves ready for something. Some of us were running late, some of us were running early, some of us were still running. Where's God at? Where's God? He want to be included in our day. So when you open your eyes, or even before you open your eyes, but you are awake, why not thank God for the day?
Amen.
Why not thank God? Some of us still haven't thanked God for what he has done for us. He woke us up this morning. I mentioned the other day, someone called me talking about, you know, happy this, merry this, and that and the other. You woke me up. I need to say, no, God woke you up. God woke you up. And that's exactly right. God, he wakes us up. He wakes us up to allow us to have the activity of our limbs. He wakes us up in order to be in our right minds. Why not give him thanks? Why not give him thanks? You want to be the head of our day. And as we give Him thanks for the day, how many of us consider opening up our Bibles and studying them? Studying God's Word to find something that we need in order to get us through the day.
Amen.
Study His Word. When someone asks you a question, you're ready to give them an answer. Studying God's Word is a command.
Amen.
It's a command. Why do we study God's Word? We study God's Word in order to learn more about Him.
Amen.
We study God's Word to learn more about how we're supposed to live our lives. And as we live our lives, that our lives may be pleasing and acceptable to Him. Today is the first day of the rest of our lives. How many of us are willing to study outside of Bible class? How many of us are willing to study? 2 Timothy chapter 2 and the verses 15. Very, very simple. We don't study in order to prove any man wrong. That's why we really go to the Bible. Is that not right? That's why we go to the Bible. What do you mean God said that? Or what do you mean I'm supposed to do that? Let me go and you... Oh, okay, I got the answer I need right now. I don't need to study anymore. No. Wrong answer. We study to show ourselves approved unto God. A workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's why we study, to prove ourselves to God. God desires men to study His Word, to learn more about Him, and do the things that He wants us to do, that we may be acceptable in His sight.
Amen.
If we do not study it, we're not going to know. But just because you don't know doesn't mean that you're not going to be looked at on that last day and judged by what God wanted us to do. The teacher gives a test. There are many students that sit in that classroom and say, I'm not ready for this test. You know what that teacher does? Okay, we're not going to take this test today. We're going to put it away. No, you're still going to get that test. And if you're not prepared for it, you're going to fail. So we need to study to show ourselves approved unto God. Then we need to continue to pray. As I stated earlier, when we wake up in the morning, let's thank God. Let's thank God for what He has done for us. As we go through the day, something may happen and you say, man, that was a close call. Let's thank God. Let's thank God. We have jobs that we go to. Let's thank God that we have those jobs. We have families that we enjoy coming home to, or we enjoy spending time with. Let's thank God for those families. Let's thank God. A lot of times we are always asking God. We think that's what prayer is for, just asking God for things. We've had like 3 or 4 different men come together on our men's training class on Wednesday nights and have delivered messages on prayer. Y'all, I'm going to preach a message on prayer tonight. But I want you to understand that we need to pray to God all the time. What do you mean? You mean to tell me I can't have a conversation? I have to pray to God? No, that's not what I mean. I mean that we need to pray to God for whatever and happens in our life. Whether it's good or whether bad, we need to pray to God. We need to continue to give Him thanks. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Pray continually. Continually. Whether it's things going good or whether things is going bad, we need to pray. If it's a good situation, thank you, God, for this situation that you have put me in. If it's a bad situation, thank you, God, for putting me in this bad situation. And if you see fit, allow me to come out of it. But if you don't, remember, as Paul prayed 3 times, but at thorn to be removed, God's response, my grace is sufficient. Then we find in the book of Luke chapter 18, Luke chapter 18 and the verse is 1. Luke chapter 18 and the verse is 1. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Always to pray. That's what we're looking at when we start talking about prayer. You know, people ask, you know, I have this going on in my life. I have that going on in my life. And the question is asked, have you prayed about it? Have you prayed about it? I have this offer for a new job. Have you prayed about it? I have an opportunity to move to a new city, a new state, a new country. Have you prayed about it? See, that question is often asked to us. And many times we'll say, oh, what's going to happen is going to happen. I don't have time to pray. If you don't have time to talk to God, what are you living for? What are you living for? Where is God at the beginning of our work? Where is God at the beginning of our work? We set out to do a task. Or are we willing to talk to God about this? Lord, a difficult day is ahead of me. Will you help me get through this day? You know what His response is on that? I'm going to tell you what His response is right now. I'm with you. I'm right there with you. All you have to do is put forth the effort. Everything is going to be okay. according to my will. Not the way you see it, but according to my will. So you may head out to your job on tomorrow, and you may get there, and you pray to God, God, help me through this day. You may get to your job, and the man may say, here's your pink slip. You don't have a job anymore. Thank you, God. That's the answer I've been looking for. How many of us are willing to say that? I got fired from a job one time. It was an opportunity that I had. You know, I was still in high school, and I was working this job, and I decided I wasn't going to work one day. And that was the day they were laying people off. That was a good answer to am I going to have a job when I go back? No, the answer is right here. No, you don't have a job. You've been laid off. I didn't let that bother me. Why? Because my mom and dad, they were putting food on the table. I didn't have to worry about that. But a lot of times we worry about things that we have no control over. So let's do what we're supposed to. Let's continue to pray to God. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, Colossians chapter 3 and the verses 1, proper goals, the proper goals that we're set forth to have, are they fitting to be a member of the kingdom? You know, we're new now. We're children of God. So where is God in our work? He says here in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is seated, at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. A lot of times, some of the jobs that we have had in times past, we didn't need those jobs, no way. Maybe it was something sinful that we were doing. We didn't need that job. So it's changed now that you are a Christian and you realize, hey, I can't benefit from what I'm doing here. I need to move on. So we have to have the proper goals. Again, we're raised with Christ. We're a new creature now. Let's live like it. Let's live like it. We need to be honest with all men. Not some men, but we need to be honest with all men. Are we able to do that? We can if we're living the life that God wants us to live. We can be honest with everybody. So in Romans chapter 12 and the verse is 17. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. In the sight of all. A lot of times we say that we're out to please God, but yet we're displeasing to man. He did it to me, I'm going to do it to him. No, it's not like that. We have to learn how to pray for people that do things against us. And that's what Jesus teaches on the Sermon on the Mount. Pray for those that despitefully use you. Pray for those that say all manner of evil against you. You pray for those people. Here Paul is writing to the church of Rome. Again, he said, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. So we need to be honest with all men. We need to do the things that are right. We need to do the things that are going to bring glory to the Father. Are we willing to do that this morning? Where is God at the beginning of our work? The treatment of others in Matthew chapter 7 and the verses 12. You've seen this in that horn with those fruit in it. You know, Thanksgiving, giving thanks. And he tells us as we look at this verse right here, what do? We do unto others as we would have them do unto us. The golden rule. Lord, are you willing to live by that on this morning? Or are you one of the ones that says, you know, I don't care how people treat me. I'm going to treat them like dirt. They treat me good, but I'm going to treat them the worst I can treat them. No. You do unto others as you would have them do unto you. He tells you why right there in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. For this is the law and the prophets. You do what is right. If you do what's right, you're doing nothing but glorifying the Father. You don't have to worry about anything else. You do what you're supposed to do. And if men do not treat you right, still pray for them. Still pray for them. The treatment of others. See, we're supposed to be Christians, but everybody doesn't act like a Christian. Everybody don't treat you the way they're supposed to treat you. Men treat you the way they say he deserves what I'm about to give him. A lot of times that's untrue. That's untrue. So treat others as you would have them treat you, and that is in a respectable manner. Then we look in Romans chapter 12, going to verse 11 this time. Romans chapter 12 and the verse 11. See, we have some people that love to half-step. We have some people that do not love to do the things that God wants them to do. They do what they want to, and as they step out to do those things, they go out and they half do them. If you're going to half do a job, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't take that job on if you're going to half do it. So we find here in Romans chapter 12, starting with verse 9 and coming down, let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. Or are we willing today to say, hey, I'm not slothful. I'm not slack. I'm not the lazy person. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. And I'm going to give my all. Oh, there are times where we would go out and we would run a race and we would finish that race. When we get to the end, we did not come in first, mind you. We came in 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, and the list goes on. But when we get across that finish line, we have all of this energy. Why did you not do better? Why did you not give more? See, when we finish a race, we need to be tired. We need to be tired. There are times where you hear people say that when they get close to the end of their lives, they say, I'm tired. I am tired. And a lot of times we don't want to hear that because we say that this person has given up. A lot of times that person has done all that they can do. And they deserve to be tired. And we need to continue to pray for them and hope when they give up the ghost that their life was in order. That they had done the things that God wanted them to do. So let's not be slothful in our work. But let's do what God wants us to do and continue to give Him all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. Where is God? Where is God at the beginning? There are people that need our help. What are we doing? Are we willing to help them? That man that is out there with his hand out, and we know that this individual truly needs help. Are we willing to help them? Yeah, there's that one over there that's making it bad for everybody else because he has a pocket full of money and he still has his hand out. But there's this other individual that truly needs help. What are we doing? In the book of Galatians chapter 2 and the verse is 10. Galatians chapter 2 and the verse is 10. He says, only that they asked us to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do. Remember the poor. Remember the poor. Because there's people out there that really and truly need help. But there are those people out there that's going to use you. And Jesus tells you this again. Pray for those people. But the one that truly needs help, you help them. Galatians chapter 6 and the verses 10. He tells us, do good unto all men as you have the opportunity. Especially those in the household of faith. So it's not just those people out in the world that need help, but we have some people that are members of the Lord's church that need help as well. We need to help them. We need to help them. It is a command. It is a command. Where is God at the beginning? Well, let me say this morning, that there are some people that are here that are without God. You do not have God. You do not have Christ. Why? Because you have not done what you're supposed to. In order to say that Christ is the head of my life, you're that individual that's riding around with that license plate on the front of your car that says, God is my co-pilot. God should never be anybody's co-pilot.
Amen.
He is the pilot.
Amen.
He should be the head of your life. So if you're here and you're not a member of the Lord's church, if you have not put Christ on through baptism, the Bible tells us that so many of us that have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Galatians chapter 3 and the verses 27. Or are you a member of the Lord's church? Have you put Christ on through baptism? Where is God at the beginning of your life if you have? If you have not, He's not the beginning of your life. You need Him to be the beginning of your life. You need Him there. So why not become a new creature today? Why not start anew today? I've said today is the first day of the rest of your life. The first day. Hopefully it's not the last if you're not living right. If you're here and you're not a Christian, we want to encourage you to become one. We want you to come to make that confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Be immersed in the water of grave baptism, rising to walk a newness of life. Maybe you're here and you are a Christian, but you have strayed away. God is not there. He's nowhere to be found in your life. And action is showing that. Let's confess that this morning. Let's get our lives together. If you need to go and confess to someone because you have sinned against them, go and do that and then come back. We're waiting. We're here waiting on you. God is waiting on you to get your life right. He's waiting that when you die, that He may tell you, come judgment, to enter in, my good and faithful servant. That's His desire. But there are some that will not hear that because they do not want to get their lives together. They want to continue to be away from God. Maybe you're here and you're ready to come back. Let's do that this morning as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.